The Coastal Case. The actual cause leading to the arrest of Sister Zenka could be established only after her rehabilitation on 6 April 1970 in Bratislava. In the respective documents, the name Stephen Kostiel appeared again and again. In 1952, at the time of the court's conviction, this name was not mentioned even once. Finally, it became clear that this Father Kostiel was the main cause of Sister Zenka's arrest. At the time of the totalitarian regime, this priest was sentenced to 19 years imprisonment. In addition, he was deprived of all his belongings and his civil rights as well. Stephen Kostiel was born on 14th October 1913 at Liptovska Osada in the district of Rusumberok. After completing his secondary education, he studied philosophy and theology. He was not only a learned but also a committed priest. Therefore, his activities were a thorn in the eye of the government, and his liquidation was only a question of time. Stephen Kostiel was fully aware of his and decided to escape across the border with the intention of taking up pastoral work abroad. His attempt at flight, however, was unsuccessful, and Kostiel was accused of high treason. In the bill of his indictment, we read that in 1950, etc., etc., he had made an attempt to leave the country illegally, to resume his service with the treacherous Czech and Slovakian emigres. He learned to team up with other offenders, seeking to undermine the Republic's order of national democracy. The document also states that he escaped from prison on February 1952 to evade the indictment of the court. It appears that he made two attempts to flee, in 1951 and in 1952. The second time, as a patient from the department, for convicts at the government hospital at Bratislava. During the night of 19th to 20th February 1952, he succeeded in escaping from the hospital, even though this would bring him only temporary security. In the morning of 20th February, the state security police was already at the spot to arrest Sister Zenka. Only from the documents connected with her rehabilitation process has it become clear that she had been involved in his escape. She herself had never spoken about it. She consequently concealed the name Kostiel until her death, to avoid other persons being indicted in this unlawful action. There is, however, one exception. In a condition of total exhaustion after an operation which she had to undergo as a prisoner, she related the story of that time's happenings to her fellow prisoner, Helena Korda. Sister Zenka, a nurse at the government hospital of Bratislava, observed the admission of an unknown patient who was obviously totally exhausted to her department. At first, she did not know that this patient was a priest. She certainly did not think of the possibility that she herself after innumerable interrogations, would at some future be brought to a prison cell in a similar condition. She began immediately to take care of the patient. Later, when she got to know more fully who he was, she realized the danger to herself. Even then, she continued to attend to this patient and even redoubled her efforts. She often sat by his bedside, tended the wounds he sustained during torture, changed his dressings with the greatest care, and provided him as best she could with nourishing food. When Stephen Costiel had somewhat recovered, he described his attempts to help persecuted persons to cross the border. The State Security Service had observed his activities and arrested him, threatening that he would be hanged in place of those who escaped. While staying in the hospital, he was aware of the death penalty that awaited him. Unless he could escape across the border, his tormentors waited only until he was fit enough to be removed. When he was found well enough, a member of the security service asked the hospital staff to get the patient ready to be taken away. The court procedures was arranged for the following day. "How could I have sent him to certain death?" Stuzenga told her confidant, without mentioning Kostiel's name. She then described how she had contacted persons who could help the priest to flee. By the evening of 19th February, all connections had been established. The way the fugitive took would bring him across the Danube into Austria. It is said to have been a very cold night. Stuzenga prepared tea, into which she mixed a sedative. She served this tea to the attendant who was on duty that night. The drug soon had its effect, and the guard fell asleep, while those who aided the priest escape set to work. Court protocols of a later date prove the truth of this story. Once again, Stuzenga had arranged for someone's flight without considering that it could mean for her. Ultimately, she offered her life in place of someone else's. The priest, Stefan Kostiel, survived, whereas Stuzenga died after 3.5 years of rigid imprisonment and the most cruel tortures. The following morning, she was arrested and dragged away from her place of work, to which she would not return again. This was the beginning of a long way of suffering. Investigations, interrogations, humiliations, torture, hunger, and cold, sleepless nights, despair and terror under the totalitarian regime. The most cruel methods were used. Interrogations continued day and night without granting the accused the briefest respite. Officials, both male and female, surpassed each other in the use of sadistic methods of torture. The dignity of the prisoner was disregarded in the worst possible manner. Those representatives of justice consider the prisoners no longer human. Without the slightest scruple, still less pity, they exposed them to hunger and cold. Deprivation of sleep and other brutal physical and mental methods of torture were part of the daily order. Sazenga, a beautiful young woman and a member of a religious order, was doubly provoking. How could a good-looking woman ascribe to the hated church? And how could a religious woman become guilty of the crime of disregarding the law of the state? This was too much. At that time, Sister Zenga expressed her thoughts in writing. Let us not be afraid of suffering. God always gives the courage and strength needed for the present moment. This is grace. I will always believe that. Nothing shall intimidate me, whether strong winds nor thick clouds. Should it happen all the same, it will be over quickly. In the end, my trust and my security will be strengthened.